Welcome to episode 44 of Skyjacks, Courier's Call. I'm your host and narrator, Drew Murzieski. I'm joined by Allison Grauer, Palomi Pratap, and Aaron Catano-Saez to bring you a story of adventure, skyships, mail carriers, and kids. Just like you. Last time, Cece Kiern and June and Bobby Jean welcomed the long-awaited Braith back to the Red Audrey fold after a few weeks of absence. Braith's got a new haircut, a new bird with him, and a new green coat. The coat of a Swiftwell initiate. Before anyone can find out what happened, the Sacred Falcon seemed to be picking fights with the other birds in the bird yard, and June stepped in to try and calm it down. But will magic only make things worse? Heed the call, couriers. Stand to, and let's fly.
Gone are the days when it was easy to ride,
singing way, hey, ho.
But the years haven't withered my joy and my pride,
singing way, hey, ho.
I've never been much for the pistol or blade,
singing way, hey, ho.
For the sun is my course and the sky is my trade,
singing way, hey, ho.
My mother, she told me that life would be fine if you're free with the water but savor the wine, and to never be hurried but always on time,
singing way, hey, ho. Singing way, hey.
The entire bird yard goes quiet.
Yeah, the noisiest place you've ever been in your entire life is suddenly quiet.
Like Times Square is now suddenly dead quiet.
Dead quiet. As all the birds turn and look at you to hear what you have to say.
Mm-hmm. And June is not paying attention to that. June's only paying attention to the Sacred Falcon right now. And June basically says, it's okay. They didn't mean anything by it. It's okay.
No, it's dangerous. Comes to your head.
I know it feels dangerous. I promise it's not.
Unsure.
They don't know you.
Unsure.
I know you.
Friend.
Yes. And Fenton, too.
Safe?
Yes.
Sure?
Yes.
Positive?
Positive.
Prove it.
Okay, how?
Prove it.
June turns around and sees the other birds are all looking at her and that it's all gone still and quiet. Doesn't really register because she's focused on the task, and kind of reaches out and then turns her palm up and open to see if someone will come, one of the other birds will come to her hand.
I'm going to raise it to a D6.
Okay. Is my nose bleeding yet?
Magic stress. But there are three or four birds that come over to be in your vicinity to see what you want.
There's a parakeet that was just moments earlier banging a steel wash tub on the ground
bang,
and
bang,
screaming
bang,
into
bang,
it.
Bang, bang.
It drops the wash tub. There's a whong, gong, 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 gong.
And we see one bird like take its foot and go, like,
stop it. Yeah.
And it just like bounds over to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple of the smaller birds.
Yeah, like a finch and a parakeet. And
they're still,
you know,
big. They're like 4 or 5 feet.
Oh, they're still big, yeah.
But they come over to, like, see what's going on. I'm going to say with that D6 in stress in it, you can tell them to do something and they'll do it.
Yeah, yeah. So they stop and June walks over and, like, puts a hand on each one in turn just to, like, say hello. And then she turns and looks at the Sacred Falcon and says, see?
Not proved.
Okay. And June turns
back. Like you, not me.
June turns to the three that have come up to her and says, somebody over here is feeling a little scared.
Bully. Don't like him.
Scared.
Bully.
Not scared. Not bully. Scared.
Scared.
He needs to know it's safe to play.
The parakeet. Hops over to this Sacred Falcon cautiously because this is a big, scary predator bird
mm-hmm.
who is ill-tempered.
Parakeet's like 6 feet. This thing's like 11.
Yeah.
You have assured this parakeet that probably still has a little bit of growing to do. But, like, you've assured this parakeet that it's going to be okay. So the parakeet, like, moves over, ruffles its wing feathers a little bit, and, like, raises its like, feather crown a little bit and goes, kisses?
Oh, this cockatiel? Yes.
Yeah.
To which the sacred falcon, as the ruff comes up, the sacred falcon kind of bunches a little bit, like, this is going to be a dangerous thing.
And, like, I'm sure that confuses it, and it freezes. And so the cockatiel, like, hops over and goes,
I mean, everyone is dead silent as that happens.
June bites her lip.
And you hear June, the sacred falcon, go, like kisses.
Uh-huh.
Like kisses.
Mm-hmm. So does Bonky over here.
Bonky! Yeah, you just happen to know that birthday.
That's Bonky, yeah.
To which sacred falcon goes, fine, another kiss.
Okay, kisses.
And yeah, it just goes in again.
And I feel like after that, they kind of nuzzle each other back and forth. And
this predator falcon, yeah, and this bonky, like, cockatiel.
And suddenly the spell breaks and the birds go back to making noise. And the sacred falcon, like, takes off to fly. And the parakeet does too. And a couple of the other ones kind of take off. And you see them kind of like aerial dog.
They're like playing tag. Yeah.
In the sky above everything. There is a moment of, like, oh, like, you're tired. And you turn around and everyone, there's a group of at least, like, 20 to 30 people who are slack-jawed. Like, Fenton is on the ground, agape, looking at you.
June feels that wind go out of her, exhausted. Like, she's just set something really heavy down. And for a second, the ground moves underneath her and she stops. And then she steadies herself, takes another breath, and walks over to help Fenton up. You okay?
Fenton pulls her hand back and, like, looks at you.
Are you okay?
What was that?
What was what?
What did you do?
And then June realizes that all of that happened in real time, and it wasn't just, like, her imagining some of it to fill in the gaps of trying to work with the birds. And she goes a little pale. Just working on my bird husbandry.
At that point, Fenton is still looking at you agape, but people rush you with, like, sudden questions. There's a cacophony of just noise. It, like, what was, how did you do, what was it? Like, there's a Birdman Mortimer, like, comes over, like, how'd you do that? Goodness gracious me, who are you? Like, everyone surrounds you. Do you get away? What do you do?
Is my nose bleeding? What are we doing? Like, how does the magic stress, the D8 of magic stress, the D6 of magic stress?
I love the idea that it's, like, bleeding a lot. And, like, nobody is paying attention to that.
Like, you're like, you look down, there's, like, blood, like, all over your nose.
June shoves her face into her sleeve.
Kieran is paying attention to the fact that June's nose is bleeding profusely. And I think when Fenton's initial reaction is not positive, Kieran takes a couple of steps forward. And Allie, if you're okay with it, I think Kieran evacuates June.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go for it.
Like, I think as soon as the questions start, Kieran kind of puts a shoulder on Cece, runs forward, grabs June by the hand, and, like, cheeses it.
Yeah. And as that happens, Cece stands up on the fence of the bird pen and gives, like, the, all right, my client has no further comments about the events that have just unfolded. Please return to your bunks. Leave her alone unless you have a napkin or handkerchief to help clean up this girl's nose.
The group of everyone, after, like, they're, like, trying to go after you, June, turn to you, Cece, and realize that you know that person, so they're going to ask you questions now.
That's fine. I welcome questions. I'm her representative. I'm her agent.
Cece is just going to make stuff up.
Everyone, give me a question real quick.
What do you want to know? Huh?
Who is that?
That there is Clarinda Fitzwater. Clarinda Fitzwater is the best bird racer the world's ever seen.
Now, is that person from the Black Audrin? They looked like they were doing magic.
They certainly were doing magic. They were from no Black Audrin, no Red Audrin, no Yellow Audrin you've ever seen. They're from a different Audrin, one that's secret, one that's full of mystery.
A secret Audrin?
That's right. You heard me.
I knew this prom was going to be different.
Cece is doing this voice, by the way. Every now and again, she has to clear her throat because it kind of hurts. But she's like, hey, that's right. The secret Audrin.
So many rumors are coming in.
Prom.
And I feel like Kieran and June, the two of you race into the woods away from that. As Cece, you like begin like, distracting as questions go back and forth, and we're going to cut from there as you guys run away. We're going to jump to you,
Braith. You and Quartermaster Jaegerman leave the bird yard and start heading down back into the town. You enter through a small woodland path. It's cold, like we said, and the two of you walk down it in kind of comfortable silence for a little while. Jaegerman asks you nothing questions, nothing important, just how was the flight? Are you all right? What's going on? What's your favorite food? Those type of things. The two of you walk for a little bit until you enter into the town and Jaegerman brings you to a tavern. It is a classic Erinner tavern. All the things that you associate with Erinners and the life of a skyjack and a courier, all these things are like on display for this place. Give me a detail of it real quick, Bray.
I think that it has some really magnificently detailed anatomical drawings of birds on the wall.
Ooh, yeah. I think it's on the wall and also on like the pillars.
Oh, yeah.
It's a beautifully carved space. The moment you walk in, you're greeted by a woman. Probably in her mid-40s. She's got no sleeves on. And with those no sleeves, she has a sleeve tattoo that's of a Swiftwell flower and birds and an Audrin on there as well. It's a beautiful tattoo. She's got dark hair that's got streaks of gray in it. And the moment she sees the two of you, she goes over and says, oh, hey, Yaggy, what are you doing? And Jaegerman looks at her and goes, hello there, Molly. I am terribly sorry, but is Captain Dennison here? And she does a thumb up the stairs, and there's a room at the top. And she goes, yeah, he's up there with the rest of the captains. They're having a shouting match about something. So maybe you'll wait. And Jaegerman goes, no, I do not think we can wait. Do you think we can wait, Braith? This seems very important.
It'd be great to get this out of the way now.
He's a smart young man. And Molly looks you up and down, Braith. A little young to be an initiate, aren't you?
Yeah, that's what they all say. But, you know, if you earn it, you earn it.
She nods, respect. And she leads you two up the stairs. As you get close to the room at the top of the stairs, there is definitely shouting going on in this room. Even through the solid wood door, you can hear the voice of Mulden Foxgull yelling, and a few other of the captains yelling as well.
Approaching this entire situation, he had like a lot of anticipation and nervousness because he has to tell the captain some difficult things. But like, I think that has morphed it more into concern for his fellow shipmates than, you know, worry about himself, his feelings, and any feelings around his situation. So I think he's getting a little ratcheted up by concern.
Jaegerman puts his fist out. As he knocks on the door, the shouting continues, but underneath the shouting, raised high enough that you can hear it, is a, come in! And the doors open, and you see the four Audrin captains sitting at a table. It's a very well-appointed room. It's got red curtains and like nice carpets and well-carved wood everywhere. The captains are standing there. It looks like a Renaissance painting, where you see like Dennison sitting in the middle, like his head in his hands, and there is Allegria Canticle, like, standing and pointing and, like, shouting and pointing a finger at Mulden Foxkill, who's up, like, with his arms in the air shouting as well. And you see off to the side, there is Wiltham not, like, pouring a drink. And it's this tableau that's there for a second. They all stop and they turn and they look at the two of you coming in.
Like, it's almost the golden ratio. It's so perfect.
It's beautiful looking.
Amazing.
With that silence, Allegria goes, "And what do you want?" And Jägermeind kind of looks at you, Braith, and goes, "Ah, Tell, we're sorry to interrupt. This is Braith Ashworth. He is on the Red Ardrin. He's just arrived, Captain. I thought maybe I should bring him in, unless you are busy." Captain Dennison, sitting down, goes, "It's all right, Jägermeind. Come on in, Braith. We were just having a mild discussion."
Sorry to interrupt your, and he does air quotes, mild discussion. I think we need to have just a quick talk, Captain.
Dennison looks over at the other captains and he goes, "This is Red Ardrin business. You don't have to stay for this if you don't want to." And I think Mulden puffs up their chest and kind of looks at Dennison and goes, "Well, Dennison, if you're going to throw everything into chaos this way, we might as well continue the trend, shouldn't we? Jägermeind, shut the door and leave. Young Braith, come forward. Tell us what's going on." And we see Jägermeind go, "Of course. Good luck to you, Braith." And he shuts the door, leaving you alone in the room. As the captains all go back to their chairs and they kind of sit down, cheating out to look at you. It almost looks like an interview where you're standing there at the door and these four captains are looking at you. Dennison puts his hand in the air and offers you to have the floor.
Braith nervously runs a hand through his hair, kind of put out of sorts because he was not expecting to have the full attention of four captains, let alone one. But here we are, and he holds his papers a little too tight in his hands and then takes a deep breath. "Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know I'd be talking to all of you. It's cool. Hey, you might notice that I am an initiate." He kind of nervously grabs his jacket and, like, plucks at it to, like, bring attention to it, and then kind of drops his hands to his sides again and says, "So, Captain, you remember what we talked about before I left, right?"
The captain looks at you, Braith, kind of looks over to the other captains and nods that he does know.
"So I ended up talking to Fathina, who has told me that I can't say much about what I'm doing now."
All the captains kind of lean forward at that a little closer. And you can see their attention, which was divided a little bit. Obviously, Dennison was very interested in what you're saying. The other captains, not so much. All of a sudden, it's laser focus on you. And Captain Knott looks at you, Braith, and says, "I'm sorry, did you say Fathina, the Postmaster General, has sworn you to silence?"
"Yeah." And at this point, Braith walks forward and sets his paperwork on the table.
Dennison reaches for it, but Allegria reaches over and grabs it before he can get to it. And she looks at it for a good solid 30 to 45 seconds and then scoffs and passes it to Wiltham, not to Dennison, whose hand is out. They pass it around to each other to read. And during this maybe 2 or 3 minutes where you stand there and let them read this, there's a lot of gasps. There's a lot of, what? There's a lot of confused looks on faces as they pass it around. And finally, the last person who gets it is Dennison. He looks over it, blank-faced, puts it face down.
"I understand orders when I see them. So you don't need my permission or anything about that. I appreciate you bringing this to me, Braith. I do have a question. It says here," and he lifts the pages and looks, "that you'll be naming your replacement. Do you have any idea who that might be?"
I've been thinking about it. I don't have a decision yet, but can I just tell you before I leave?"
Captain Dennison sighs a little bit, but he looks to the other captains and says,
This is going to be from your crews, so we'll be changing your lineups. Is that something you all are willing to do?
They all kind of grumble to each other, but Mulden goes, well, if Athena's the one who presented it, then there's nothing we can do about it, can we? So, of course, whatever you want, Braith, you get.
Braith is a little taken aback, and you can see on his face that he wants to say something a little talkbacky to that tone, but he's not going to.
To which Mulden goes, you wish to say something.
No.
No, I can see it. No. I can see it on your face.
What?
Please, Braith, you're a great initiate now. Please tell us what you think.
I was just thinking about the incredible amount of sarcasm you're using, but I'm not going to say anything about it because
that's
I'm 16.
That's my bread and butter, isn't it, everyone? My sarcasm. No, please, young man, tell us your wishes.
I've none but to join the prom at the moment.
I think it's good enough, don't you think?
I suppose so. All right. I'm all right with that, Wiltham Knott says. Allegria Canta goes, yeah, fine, sure, whatever. I'll go along with that. And Mulder goes, as Fathina wants, Fathina gets.
Very well, young Braith. You have till when you leave. I'm supposing that will be the day after prom.
Yes, sir.
All right. As soon as you can. To name your successor. There should be an apprentice like you. Well, like you used to be. And, hopefully, to your liking.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Of course. It also says here, there's a bird. You're taking the squall, so we'll be getting a replacement.
Yeah, the bird is outside.
Excellent. All right. Well, I appreciate all your hard work, Braith.
I appreciate you, Captain, a lot. You've done a lot for me.
Wiltham goes, oh, please. Kind of looks the other direction. But Dennison ignores that and looks at you, Braith. Nods, stands, and walks across the room to you, puts his hand on your shoulder, and says,
it has been a pleasure seeing you grow, and I hope that you will continue that. Whatever for then as you do, and it's more than likely dangerous. So, be careful. Trust your bird. And if you need anything, you know where to find us.
I think Braith kind of breaks a little bit of his bro character and gives him a hug.
The hug is one of those where Braith puts it around Dennison and Dennison's arm go up.
Yeah.
And there's a sarcastic, aww, from the other captain. He's like, well, y'all shut up. And he reaches down and he reciprocates the hug. It's not like a full, like, hard hug, but
sure.
He, like, pats your back.
Yeah. It's the type of hug that Braith would expect from a captain.
Yeah. And he breaks the hug by pushing you off a little bit and goes, yeah.
Go find your friends. Make sure to be here for the banquet tonight. And you don't want to be anywhere around here for our discussion, so.
Yes, sir.
Go have fun.
Thank you.
Enjoy prom.
Thank you, sir. Braith kind of steps back a little awkwardly, brushes a hand through his hair again, and then turns to go to the door.
We see Braith open the door. And step out and close it. And Jaegermund has been on the other side of the door this whole time, just sitting there listening. And it reveals Jaegermund, and he goes, I wasn't eavesdropping. I was just standing here. And he, like, is standing very casually on the side of the wall. But the moment it closes, it goes back to, like, yelling inside.
Mm-hmm.
And Jaegermund looks at you and goes, I suppose we should not stay around for this. Let's go downstairs. I will get you something to eat, something to drink. It's been a long travel for you, I suppose.
It has. Thank you.
Come sit. You will tell me all about it.
And you see the two of you descend the stairs to go and eat.
Hello, couriers, and welcome to the Mid-Roll. I'm Drew, your host and narrator.
Thank you. We are so pleased that so many of you continue to share your love for Courier's Call on social media. It really brings all of us so much joy each time we see you post about it. We see your art, your cosplay, your music, and we absolutely love it and can't wait to see more. It's amazing to know that these shows bring you so much inspiration and excitement. If you have feelings, thoughts, fan art, cosplay, or other expressions you'd love to share with us specifically, feel free to send us an email at skyjackscourierscall@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to continue to show your support beyond tweets and posts, you are cordially invited to join the One Shot Network Patreon, where you can receive previews, audio treats, bonus content, and an entire secret archive of games and world building for Skyjacks and other fine shows. And if you are curious about Braith's promotion to initiate and his confidential mission for Fathinavranti, the Postmaster General of the Courier Service, you'll be able to hear more about that on Patreon soon if you join at the $5 level. Check it out at patreon.com/oneshotpodcast. Furthermore, you can support our squad individually. Aaron can be found at patreon.com/AaronCatanoSaez, Allie and Drew at patreon.com/WhimsyArtifice, and Palomi at ko-fi.com/PalomiSP. Thank you so much for being a part of our community. We love you, and we cannot wait to share more with you. And now with all that out of the way, let's get back in the sky.
Singing way, hey.
Kieran, Toon, CC, a couple hours go by. Where do you guys eventually meet up?
Is there not a bar, but like a place where kids can get refreshment?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a restaurant.
Nice. Kids only.
There's a kids only restaurant. It's actually run by the
Kid
kids
Town
here
restaurant.
In,
by kids for kids.
It's the apprentice only hangout.
Yeah.
Run by Sleazus Cooper.
Sleazus Cooper.
Is that Bobby Jean's cousin?
Yeah. Cousin Sleazus.
Cousin Sleazus.
Good. You had an opportunity to make a new character and you didn't do it.
No, I want to make sure that we're paying off on some of the ones that we've established before, and Sleazus will never leave my memory.
Okay. So there is this place. It is run by preteens and teens and kids here in town. It is only for adepts and apprentices. If you are above that, you can't get in. And it is run year round by Sleazus Cooper. Sleazus Cooper is he's about I'd say about 15 or so, and he's got a rat tail.
Nice.
Correct.
It's just like he's got like a shaved head, but it's just that rat tail in the back. That's the longest bit he's got.
That's a lot.
So he's got, it's not like a full shaved head. It's more like shaved sides. He's got that long front piece that he's like pompadoured up. And then he's got this rat tail that goes down in the back. Sleazus was on an Audrin, but he only did about half a route before he got sent home. And so he's never made it past being an apprentice, which is why he set this place up. And he's been running for about 3 or 4 years now.
Sleazus describes himself as having the world record for apprenticeship.
Yeah. The shortest one.
The shortest.
Yeah.
He's got a billboard up that's got like other people that have like washed out. And like
it's like a wall of fame.
It's like a wall of fame. And they're all caricatures. Yeah.
Bobby, why did Sleazus get the boot?
I mean, why didn't Sleazus get the boot?
I mean, lots of different reasons, really. I mean, there was that time I stole that cow.
Ne'er-do-wellin', scallywagon, laying about.
Rapscallions.
Rapscallioning.
Lots of different things. So you guys go into Sleazus's. What's this place called?
Sleazy's.
Sleazy's. It's called Sleazy's.
Yes.
You guys get the finest non-alcoholic beverage you can get.
Birch beer.
It's birch beer. Yes. It's pink birch beer.
Ooh.
Pink birch beer.
Love it.
We see the three of you sitting around a table with your big mugs, like glass mugs full of this fizzy birch beer.
The prop department had to foam up some Pepto.
Yum. It's so sleazy. That's so sleazy.
And we see you, June. You have two like napkins stuffed
in my nose, yeah.
Stuffed in your nose.
Good.
The three of you sitting around. Sleezes comes over and he deposits your guys' drinks and he gives there's a special kind of gold cup full of something fizzy and he puts it down and he pushes it over to you, June.
Thank you.
Don't worry about it. You heard you got into some trouble today.
I wouldn't call it trouble. It was fine.
Look here, little Red Audrin. I'm going to say this.
Uh-huh.
Anytime a bunch of adults look in your direction,
yeah,
you are in trouble.
No, that's accurate, actually. Yeah, I agree with that.
So congratulations on your trouble. You can have the worst drink in the house.
What?
That's what it is. Everyone drinks the worst drink in the house when they get in trouble.
Why did we come here, CZ?
Oh, I thought it was cool, you know. I thought it kind of. I've had it before because I've been in trouble before. I've had this before actually, and it's not that bad.
They call it the worst drinking in the house, but it's not. It's really good. Like, what is it? What does it taste like?
There. I think because I can't not think about it now that Pulumi has said Pepto. I think there is an immediate a candy coated flavor that hits right away, and then it dissolves and it gives way to . There's fruit and it's sour and tart and sweet and
I think it's a really complex apple cider.
Yeah, it feels like a really complicated raspberry lemonade or something in there. But there's artisanal. A chalky candy coating that hits right off the bat and it's not good and then it turns really good.
No, the glass rim is just Pepto.
Oh, it's just Pepto.
Crystal Pepto.
It helps you digest the chili dogs they serve.
Pepto margarita.
Yeah, they sell chili dogs.
Yep. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
June drinks it. It's been a weird day already, I think.
But then we can turn it around. It's been pretty terrible, not gonna lie. But Cece sips from her umbrella drink with a crushed Tums rim, and she says, but we can turn it around. I'm feeling pretty good about this whole prom thing. You know?
You guys
feeling the juice? I'm feeling the juice, I like to call it. The juice is that wiggly energy you get before you do something cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it has potential to be cool. Yeah. What about you, Karen?
I think I'm feeling the juice, but I also feel like the juice might be contagious.
Oh, well, it is contagious because I'm spreading the juice. And CC starts wiggling in her seat, looking deep into their eyes. The juice is contagious. She's just trying to lighten the mood. But the
Karen,
juice is
Karen
contagious.
Has a very subdued wiggle.
Oh, I see the juice is spreading, and I toast Karen. Clink.
Didn't they say something about we got to go up to the big house later?
Oh,
yeah, there's there's the dinner.
Yeah.
And then I think after that, everyone's going up to the manor house.
Yeah, because we got to pick outfits, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Outfits! You ready? What are you going to wear? Okay, ready? Go. June, what are you wearing to prom?
I don't know.
All right. Kieran, what are you wearing to prom?
I don't know yet.
Cool.
What about you, ZZ?
Oh, me? Oh, man. Well, if they have... Remember we were talking to Brand? I was thinking, if they have a penguin bodysuit, penguin suit,
cool.
I'm wearing it. But if it's not in that closet, I'm probably just going to wear something that makes me look... I really want to be I want to make a splash.
They might have a penguin mask.
That's why I keep you around, Kieran. You're full of good ideas.
There's a bell that suddenly rings. As Sleezus rings this. All right, my little friends, time to get out of here and get to the All Autumn dinner. You guys get out.
We close the bar down, kids. Time to head out.
All right. Thank you, Sleezus.
You guys have fun.
Thanks.
Bring me back something.
What do you want?
No, seriously, bring me a whole plate.
Okay. I'll bring you a doggy bag.
Do you not get to eat at the
Margins are razor thin at Sleezes. Can't even feed herself.
Sleezes has been banned for life.
Sleezes goes, no, I was banned for life from the Audrins, and it is the all Audrin dinner. So that's not something I can do. But you can bring it back to me.
Yeah, we'll bring you a plate.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll make you. And Cece throws her arm around Sleezus' shoulder and says, we're going to bring you back an uncomfortable amount of food so that you can have that for a month.
All right.
I got you. You make these drinks nice and strong. I'm going to take care of you the way you took care of me and the gang.
strong.
I do put a lot of sugar in them. That's true.
I'm feeling. Right. I'm feeling weakly as a result.
Feeling the juice.
Jan, I'm Kiki, Keenan, love to see you guys here. you guys take care and bring me back that plate.
You got it.
So we see everyone kind of pile out of Sleazes.
Sleazes entertainment cheese.
I feel like Sleazes has like a it's like a very brightly painted sign over it, and the entire place is like made out of like wood pallets and kind of built up. It's been built up over the last couple of years.
It looks like Jack Lindsay's hangar bar.
Yes, it looks like Jack Lindsay's hangar bar.
Just checking,
guys. Head on out. The sun is beginning to set as you guys follow the paths and all the other apprentices and Audrin people that are coming out of their houses. As they follow the lanterns, there's like a lantern path that runs into the woods to where the all Audrin dinner is being held. You guys enter a clearing in the woods, not too far from the town, that the trees have grown up. They're very close together. They basically have grown into like a building of some kind. And this looks rather natural in the sense that it's kind of grown together. And there's like ivies and vines and different beautiful things. Like there's a canopy of trees that kind of cover the whole thing. And everything is hung in like lanterns. And you see that there are these big wooden tables lined out. There's a couple of tables at the front where like the captains and everyone else is gonna sit. And you also see that just a little beyond where you guys, there are a bunch of these small tables set up that are a little lower than the rest of you. There are like little steps that get up to the tables and stuff like that that are all out there. As you guys come and sit down, each long table to an Audrin, as you guys come and sit. I imagine that you guys have just about sat down when Mulden Foxgull stands up.
Good evening, my dear heart. Give us a moment. The food will be prepared and be brought out here in a moment. We will have our address by, we'll have be addressed here in a moment. And after that, we'll have our feast. But before that, I do ask the servers that have been spoken to here on the Black Audrin to please bring the offering for Her Majesty the Forest Queen.
You see that like the Black Audrin stands up and they have all these plates of food and they go to the small tables and they put out a bunch of food on these tiny small tables that are just outside the ring of where you guys are. And Mulda says, now we will have a minute of silence and we wait. And everyone kind of like lanterns down. He like clicks his fingers and the lanterns like kind of go down. And you guys kind of sit there in this gloom for about a minute. And you see movement out of the side of your eyes in the woods. And as you guys are sitting there, these animals, deer and bears and wolves and foxes and chipmunks and rabbits and all these type of animals come out of the woods and begin to eat the feast. Molten goes, now that she has been appeased, lights up. And the lights come up. And when they come up, the food is out on your guys' plates. And here is the Audrin dinner.
Bobby's just like.
June claps too. Yeah.
Heck yeah! We see all the other Audrins like begin to like clap as well. Like the senior staffs that are up there in front.
I feel like the animals kind of look at the applause and then go back to eating.
There's a bear that goes. There's a bear that goes.
Oh my gosh!
Goodness.
Raccoon just shoving as much stuff into its cheeks as it possibly can get.
And you guys have food brought out and set before you.
I've bargained with madmen who claim to be kings.
Sing it, way, hey, ho.
And I've seen the destruction their tempers can bring.
Sing it, way, hey, ho.
I've ridden the winds over mountain and plain.
Sing it, way, hey, ho.
Just to circle the coast and curse the mariner's name.
Sing it, way-hey-ho.
My father, he told me to never deceive. Be a voice to the hopeless and help those in need. And to ever be thankful for what you receive.
Sing it, way-hey-ho. Sing it, way-hey-ho.
the bottom of the Red Audrin ship, there is the mailroom. And just off to the side of the mailroom, there is another smaller room with a carefully wrinkled and unwrinkled, preserved piece of paper on it that says office. And inside of this office is the sorting room, where we see Cece, Kieran, and June sorting the mail.
Okay, so now that we've got a couple more plants in here, I feel like we're going to have to move the water cooler outside.
That's fine.
That's probably wise.
You know, it's
and
okay.
Probably a couple of the desks.
It's called, in the business world, we would call that downsizing.
What if, okay, I know we really like these plants, but hear me out. Uh-huh. What if the plants are outside and then it's sort of like somebody who wants to come in from the outside has to like find the right plant
like
to move aside?
We make a forest for them. It's almost like a welcoming party. Yeah.
Like a secret office.
Oh.
Like it's a new password thing.
Shablap. I think that is
cool. Two-factor authentication.
Let's do it. Yes. That way, like, people can be a part. Like, you got to earn entrance into the office. Like, you got to push through.
That's cool.
We got to name the jungle.
But you can't cut the leaves. If you do, then you're not allowed.
Oh.
Yeah, no machetes.
No machetes.
No machetes.
What is it? June, Kieran, and Cece. That's a C, a K, and a J. There are no vowels in that. The Sycajah Forest.
It could be the Cake Forest. We could just add a vowel. Wait, no, there's no J in that.
Yeah. But, wait. If you turn the J on its side, it's a C.
Oh!
Right. That's good.
This is good because if we call it the Cake Forest, literally no one will know what we're talking about.
And they'll think that we have cake, and so they'll come inside and we'll be like, surprise, just more mail.
It's mail all the way down.
Brilliant marketing. I think Kieran wraps their arms around the biggest pot and then just bodily starts hauling it towards the door, and the terracotta just scrapes horribly against the floorboard. Okay, I think I got this one.
Kieran, you dropped something.
Oh, okay. Hang on. Oh, this is a letter for us.
Are these plants just full of letters? What's going on?
Maybe I was down here in the middle of the night sorting letters, and I thought that the plants would hold on to them for me.
Maybe the cake jungle is speaking to us, y'all. The cake jungle is sending us messages.
That's also possible.
Maybe this one's from the plant, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
It might be. Okay, I'm going to open it. Dear June, Cece, and Kieran, I have recently been joining my friends in telling spooky stories around the campfire. That sounds intense. Anyway, my friend said I don't have a spooky and my tales are filled with laughs more than chills. That's not very nice. I was wondering if you guys had picked up any spooky tales on your journey to help scare my campfire pals. Yours, the unspooky Cece. Now, okay, hang on. I feel like if you're going to sign off with something that says you're not spooky, you're just giving in to the pressure of not being spooky.
Yes.
And I feel like you've got to believe you have spookies in order to be spooky.
Yes. If we've said it once, we've said it 1,000 times in this mailroom. You sell the sizzle, you don't sell the steak. You sell that sizzle. Yes.
No, you have said that a lot of times.
You have said it a lot. I get a little confused about what the sizzle and the steak is in certain situations.
The sizzle is the spooky. The sizzle is the atmosphere. Captain Dennison keeps using this word. It's the vibe. I don't know what it means, but he keeps saying
it's a vibe
and it's the vibe. I don't know.
Should we start saying that too?
So it sounds like red feather jargon to me.
Is the sizzle also the vibe?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have a spooky story, but I have like something that might inspire a spooky story.
Hit me.
Okay. Imagine a town. And then imagine that it's by the sea.
Hmm.
That's already just not good, right?
That's bad, yeah.
Now imagine the town by the sea is covered in fog.
Cece is shaking.
and then imagine that all of the people in the town just stand outside their doors and their buildings
and they don't move, and they don't do anything else. They just look.
What are they looking at?
Karen, Karen, is this a dream you had?
Oh, no, it's not. That's actually something I've seen.
What?
I'm okay, though. Anyway.
What?
Oh my god, is the scariest thing I've ever heard.
I'm sorry?
I mean, I guess, what's the question?
What do you mean, what's the question? What? This is scary.
What do you mean, what's the question? You're telling us this thing? You were like, oh, it's not a scary story, but it's a thing that could lead to a scary story.
The point that I'm making is that sometimes when you just, like, go hang out in life and stuff, you will see things that are kind of spooky, and then if you tell people about it in a specific way, they can be really spooky.
No. Okay, that's a good point. But also, maybe in your life, I've never seen anything spooky like that.
Sure you have. Like, remember when we were in Kid Town and it was like almost nightfall and we thought we were like seeing shadows on the walls, but we weren't. It was just our shadows. But because the lanterns were doing something funny, we were like, oh my God, what's that?
Oh yeah, I do remember that.
Establishing atmosphere is important to being spooky. So don't forget.
The vibe.
It's all about setting up the vibe. Sometimes you got to set up a strong, spooky vibe. And once the vibe is established, you know, you can go anywhere with any spooky story. I don't know what something's happening to my voice. And then CC goes, just kidding. I was setting up atmosphere.
Nailed it.
Thank you for listening to Skyjacks, Courier's Call. Cecilia Witwick was played by Aaron Catano Saez. You can be found on Twitter at Aaron Catano Saez or on the podcast All My Fantasy Children. You can further support Aaron's work in voiceover and worldbuilding at patreon.com/AaronCatanoSaez. June Hymnal was played by Allison Grauer, who can be found on Twitter at DreamsToBecome. You can further support Allie's creative work at patreon.com/WhimsyArtifice. This episode was also edited by Allison Grauer. Kieran Rao was played by Palomi Pertap, who can be found on Twitter at PalomiSP. You can hire Palomi for layout and graphic design by visiting her website at palomipertap.com. And I'm Drew Merzieski. You can find me on Twitter at Worlds to Forge, and can further support my storytelling and creative work at patreon.com/whimsyartifice. The original score for this program was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott, who can be found on Twitter at Arnie Parrott. Official artwork was created by Jess Kraczynski, who can be found on Twitter at AngryArtist113. Courier's Call is a spin-off of Campaign Skyjacks on the One Shot Podcast Network. The setting of Sphere was inspired by the music of the Decemberists and the game Illimat by Keith Baker, published by Together Studios. This podcast uses a modified version of the Cortex Prime system designed by Cam Banks and published by Fandom Tabletop. Skyjack's Courier's Call is a part of the One Shot Podcast Network. Other One Shot podcasts include
A Horror Borealis is an actual play, Monster of the Week podcast set in the 1990s in the fictional town of Revenant, Alaska, just south of the nation's least visited national park and way north of everything else. A reclusive small game hunter with a magical secret, a young anarchist librarian with a passion for conspiracy theory, and a sensible park ranger with a strong local book club following find themselves pulled together by common threads woven mysteriously into their past when monsters began plaguing their community. But they soon discover the things they're fighting run much deeper and much closer to home. Tune in for a story about identity, empathy, community, mental illness, and healing. And stay for the beloved local diner. And remember, while our show is rated E for everyone, this show was created by adults for adults, so listen at your own discretion.
That's all for this week. Until next time, heed the call, couriers. Right wrongs, do mercies, and take flight.
I'll tell you, my children, there's much I don't know, but the wind, she will take you where'er you must go, and it's better to age than never to grow. Singing way, hey, ho, singing way, hey.